Good morning and welcome to Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in O'Fallon, Illinois. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning in TV land. Let's go ahead and call it that. So we do appreciate you coming and sharing in the Word with us this morning. Today is Father's Day, and we want to say congratulations to all dads, and we're so grateful for you and for your lives, and we pray that your kids and your grandkids will be able to call you if you have those, and wish you a happy Father's Day, and that we pray it's a blessed day for you. Our next announcement is we do have an update for the COVID virus, and that is basically be safe. There's so many changes going on and with the protests, and we just don't know what's going to spike here in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to proceed with caution, thinking that that's the best route to take at this point. Our next opportunity for Holy Communion in small groups, just as we've done in the past, will be sent to you, an invitation from Sign Up Genius on tomorrow. And you can sign up for the 28th, the 29th of June, and also July 1st. And there are time slots. If you would please fill in your name for each slot and don't combine people, that would really be helpful. Sunday school teachers have asked for help. So if you've got the inclination and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, we would really appreciate you stepping forward and encouraging our kids in the faith that we've been given. Our Rocky Road Railway has been derailed, unfortunately, this summer, and it'll be chugging down the tracks here next year, June 7th through the 11th. So keep your eyes open. You got a ways to go. Our Savers fundraiser is being run by Sandy Rust, so she might be the contact person here. My understanding is if we could raise 400 black bags, that we could earn $1,000. That would be awesome. That's an awesome task. So we'll just put that before you. Please check your email. You should have gotten an email this past week. In our next set of slides here, I want you to take a look for any COVID violations. So this is in fun, so don't take this too seriously. So how many images do you see that are COVID-19 violations? Let's take a look. Well, here's Brian and Michelle Dole, who had to hastily leave for Minot, North Dakota. And Brian was ordained and installed at the church there in Minot. And there's a picture of him. And there he is coming down the aisle. He's got his six-foot space. The pastors, I'm not so sure. Oh, hands on the head, necessary part of ordination, and so we're going to let that violation go. And another, face-to-face contact, but again, he's receiving his stole there. The brothers all have their hands on him, which is a common practice in our ordination installation. And then we have a woman with a mask on, very carefully shaking hands. And then a full-fledged violator here. No mask, full hug. He's made an impression. And you know that they love you when they make you a cake. So you can see the joy on their faces. So Brian was ordained last Sunday, June 14th, and he's there with his senior pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota. If you didn't get that, it's very cold up there. And there it again is a picture, Brian and Michelle with the shepherd staff. So congratulations to the two of them. And, of course, anybody that violated, we're giving a get-out-of-jail free for any COVID violations. Hope you enjoyed that part. It was fun. Now, lastly here, I'd like to have Pastor Matt come, and also PJ and Melanie, if you'd come forward at this time. We do everything with class here. You'll notice that we have a St. Louis Bread Company, or Panera's, and so that's really important to us. Okay, let me just put things out here for me. Okay, now we're cooking. So we have been blessed with some very dedicated and humble resident field education workers throughout the years, servants of Christ who are now shepherds in the church in various parts of our country. You know, from the day that you arrived to Bless the Savior, we knew that there was something special about you guys. And you came in and immediately accepted us, which is a really important part of ministry. And you came in with grace and love and a lot of friendship. It's hard for us to believe, and sad too, that you're going to be leaving us after just 2 short years. But we understand this is the process and we have to abide by that. So I wanted to gift you with UPJ, and I'm going to ask Pastor Matt to help us here. This is Luther's rose and a cross, and you can see the image on the screen. And or Melanie, you want to put that on him? We didn't practice this, so you'll have to bear with us. And because the cross is the very heart of our faith, we wanted to give you something that you would remember us by, but not just that, but to remember the grace that flows down to all people through the cross of Christ. We'd be honored if you would wear it today.
Thank you.
So, Melanie, I have something for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're a journaler, but this is a journal. And I just thought, what a great thing to journal some of the activities and memories that you'll have on Vicarage. Put them down so that you can look back and see all the things that happened. And there's a little card in there, and it says Melanie and PJ. So it's going to you. But it's something,
that one.
It's something that you both will share. That's yes. To be certain. So we just wish you God's blessings on Vicarage, and hopefully we'll see you back on your 4th year, and we look forward to that day. And we also look forward today to hearing you preach.
Thank you.
So God be with you.
There are no other announcements, so let's turn our hearts and eyes from the business of the church toward our Heavenly Father as we begin today's worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our opening sentences come from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we come before the Lord this day to be strengthened in faith and to be witnesses of righteousness and truth before a hostile world. As we bow in humble silence, let us first confess our own sinfulness, that we receive mercy, grace, and forgiveness from God. We take a moment of silence to confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Paul writes, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This gift is offered to all who cast their sins upon their Savior. Open then your hearts so that you may receive His forgiveness. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I grant this forgiveness to all of you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, let us live as His forgiven and restored people. Amen. And this peace that we have from our Father in heaven, we now share with those around us."
If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, 'cause I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell every time I thought I let you down. Always thought I had to earn my way, but I'm learning you don't work that way. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. My shame can't separate my guilt, can't separate my past.
Let us pray. O God, because of your abiding presence, always goes with us. Keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with readings from Holy Scripture.
Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach of derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. There will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Let not sin, therefore, reign in the mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Everyone who acknowledges me before men,
I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they had called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Our worship continues with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. Now, one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is constantly distinguishing between what is really Christian and what is cultural. Now, there are some things that we see in our world and we know immediately that that's not Christian, but there are other things that are so widely held, so deeply believed that we just start to take them in as Christian truth without really reflecting on them. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great things that we get from our culture. For instance, this morning is Father's Day, which is a wonderful blessing that we get from our surrounding culture. It's a chance for us as Christians to reflect and be grateful for our earthly fathers and our heavenly father. But there are other things that that it would be helpful to take some time to reflect and figure out if they're really as Christian as we think. And the Apostle Paul's words in Romans today challenges one of our commonly held beliefs. So in Romans 6, Paul is writing to a group of Christians in the city of Rome. And at the very beginning of this reading, it sounds pretty familiar to a lot of us. Paul tells them, "You are not under law, but under grace." Oh, that sounds great, right? We love that. We know that it's nothing that we do that makes us right with God, but it's purely the gift through Jesus Christ that has restored our relationship with our Creator. And then Paul writes that you were once slaves to sin. And again, we know that that was our past life before the Holy Spirit created faith, before we were baptized into the church. We used to be slaves to our sinful nature apart from God, but that has been undone by the death and resurrection of Jesus. But what I found really fascinating about this passage is that Paul is setting it up as a then and now. You used to be slaves to sin, but now, that's where it gets interesting. Because I would have thought that Paul would say, you used to be slaves to sin, and now you're free. But that's not what he says. In fact, Paul uses the word free twice in this passage. And the first time, he actually uses it in a negative way to describe our previous selves. And then the second time, he says you're free, but then immediately follows it up by saying that you're slaves to a different master. So what's going on here? Because for many of us, including myself, we've bought into the idea that freedom is always great. The more freedom, the better, right? The good life is pictured with autonomous, self-determining, I can do what I want, when I want. Nobody can tell me otherwise. But if we're being honest, that actually doesn't work out so great. Because what happens is when we start living for our own wants and our own desires, it comes at the expense of those around us and those that God has called us to love. Just for a little snapshot, when you're driving home from work, and you're really excited to get home, maybe you've had a rough day, your desire to cut somebody off to get home a little bit quicker trumps their experience. Or if we're taking seriously the conversations that are happening in our country, often I allow my desire to be comfortable, agreeable, or nice, I allow that to trump the need to speak out against racist or sexist comments or speak in favor of those who are being oppressed, because I want to be just a nice, good guy. This is a great challenge for so many of us. For instance, we also want to be right. We want to feel good about ourselves, so it's hard to apologize for when we've messed up or even admitted that we've made a mistake. The truth is that when we live only for our desires, things go quickly sideways. And in fact, Paul says that when we're a slave to sin, the end result is ultimately death. And Paul seems to be getting at this phenomenon towards the end of our reading. Because he says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. So there's that use of the word free. But he actually says that when you were slaves to sin, that's when you were free. Because you were free from any moral standard and you were free from having to live God's will. You could do whatever you want, right? How great is that? But then Paul asks this powerful question. And what fruit did you get of that then? Basically, and what did that come out with? What did you get of it? Was it really all that it was cracked up to be? You see, Paul is pointing out that, sure, they were doing what they want, but they knew that that was not how they were meant to live. And in fact, Paul calls them out and says that those acts that they used to do, now they know that they're shameful. They're nothing to be proud of. You see, the truth is that you will always be in servitude. Let me say that again. You will always be in servitude. You will always be enslaved to something. Let me explain that a little bit. In 2005, the author David Foster Wallace gave a graduation commencement speech at a college. And during that, he said this: "There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship." What Wallace was pointing out is that we all treasure something. We all chase after something. We all serve something. Wallace noticed that all of our hearts are attuned to some person or object or ideal, and our only hope is for these things to be directed towards the right things. And Wallace warns against the danger of treasuring or worshiping or serving things like money or beauty, because he says they will eat you alive. And we know this, and thankfully we have the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that our hearts can be turned to the one true God, the one true treasure on this earth. So what we find, though, is that the opposite of sin is not freedom, but the opposite of being a slave to sin is being a slave to righteousness. But what does that mean? Right? Because it still sounds pretty weird to us. We don't like the idea of being enslaved to something or being a servant of something. Well, the way Paul describes it in verses 16 and 17 is with the word obedience. Specifically, he says, obedience from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So he's saying that in our deepest convictions, down to our heart, we are pointed towards the right things. And those right things are the teaching that has been passed down, the teaching that you probably heard from your parents or your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or friends, the teaching that Jesus Christ died and rose for you and that you've been given new life. And now he is the one you listen to. We obey God above all else. So if you're wondering, how far does this go, right? How far do we really have to obey God? Well, Paul makes it pretty explicit. He actually says, now that you've been freed, there's a second use, freed from being slaves of sin, you're now a slave to God. It's pretty extreme. And if you don't believe me, look at our other two readings from today. So our Old Testament reading, we looked in with the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was God's mouthpiece for God's people well before Jesus. So at this time, God's people have turned their backs on him, and they're neglecting and abusing the poor in their community. And Jeremiah is speaking on behalf of God, calling them to love their neighbor and to turn back to God. And what does he get for it? Well, as he writes this, he is shackled and he is beaten and tortured. He's ostracized and cast out. It's pretty tough. And he's in so much despair that at the very beginning of our reading, he cries out to God and says, "Oh Lord, you have deceived me and I have been deceived." Why is he here? Because he obeyed God. Because he's a slave to righteousness. And then in our gospel text, we have the words of Jesus. So Jesus is talking to his 12 closest disciples, and he's about to send them out on a mission. They're going to go around Israel and tell the good news that the coming Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus, and that he has brought in a new reign of God. And this is a reign of justice and forgiveness and restoration. He warns them that as they go around sharing this message, this good news, that actually it's going to do a lot of destruction. You see, people are going to rebel and fight back, and it's actually going to tear families apart. And the disciples are going to be persecuted too. He tells them, hey, if they have rejected the Son of Man, the Son of God for this message, how much more are they going to do that to you? This is really tough. And it sounds really extreme, being a slave to righteousness. And, well, that's because it is. You see, this is a huge task and something that a lot of us are probably wondering if it's even possible to achieve. Especially because, you know, we were slaves to sin, and slaves don't get to pick a new master, and servants don't get to choose who they want to serve. But you know what? We do know that we have switched hands, that we have a new Master, our Lord Jesus. And I know this because earlier in this same chapter, Paul writes that when you were baptized, you actually died with Jesus. And in dying with him, you were freed from your bondage to sin. And not only that, not only did you die with Jesus, but that means you rose with him and that you have a new life of belonging to him. And again, we sometimes want to reject the idea of being a servant of somebody, but that means that we belong to Jesus. That means that he is on our side and he is caring for us, fighting our battles. Don't believe me? Look back at Jeremiah. You see, he was ostracized and beaten. But you know what he says? He still says the Lord is a warrior, that the Lord is on his side fighting his battles and protecting him. Jeremiah goes so far to say, the Lord has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Jeremiah can speak God's truth with confidence, his commands, and his promises, because he knows the Lord is on his side. And when we look at Jesus sending out his 12 disciples, he warns them that they'll face persecution. But you know what else he says? Do not be afraid. Because those people that will come after you, that will make you an outcast or attack you, they can only hurt the body. But God, he holds the body and the soul. Now, it's not that the body isn't important, but ultimately, we've been promised resurrection. We know that whatever is done to us in this lifetime, God will raise us from the dead when Jesus returns, and all of our blemishes will be made perfect, all of our scars and all of the things that have been done to us. And we will enjoy eternal life with Jesus. Jesus drives this image home by pointing out that sparrows are small, insignificant creatures. But he says that not a single one of them falls to the earth apart from God. And he's not saying that sparrows will never fall to the ground or never get hurt or die. But he says that it is all in God's hands. And we know that God is caring for his creation and especially you, his baptized child, the one who obeys him, a slave to righteousness. And when you acknowledge Jesus before mankind, when Jesus returns, he'll acknowledge you before his Father. And you know what his Father is going to say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. As I conclude, I want to just say two quick things. One, I realize that this is a tall task, to obey God above all other things. Because our old master, sin, he's trying to lay a claim on us. And there will be times that we're going to slip up. But even when we slip up, we know that we've been forgiven. That it does not undo the work that Jesus has done for us. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we continue to grow into new life and new obedience to his will. And he's given us our brothers and sisters in the faith, those here at Blessed Savior, to encourage us along the way. Finally, I want to suggest that the promise of resurrection and eternal life doesn't make this life less meaningful or only a stop along the way. Rather, knowing that we've been promised eternal life with Jesus, we can live this life in full obedience to God, knowing that no matter what others do, we stand with the one who holds all things together. What a beautiful message. And we not only have been made servants of God, but we've made sons and daughters of the living God. Let us live out this promise as we go forward each and every day in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. We now confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The motivation for offering is thankfulness, and we have so much to be thankful for. One of the things we are thankful for today is our dads. Being a dad, as you know, isn't an easy undertaking. Dads often make mistakes along the journey of life. Just remember, dads, like all of us, need God's grace. Here's an idea to put a smile on his face today. Just say to him, Dad, I love you. And then hopefully he can sit down with you and watch the following clip. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, dads, let's go ahead and get started, guys. Now, some of you have already let me know how uncomfortable you were in last week's meeting. So tonight, we're going to try to respect each other's boundaries. What? Tonight we've also got a guest with us. David, and would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm David.
David.
How many kids do you have, David?
None. At least not at the moment. My wife is pregnant, and she should be delivering any day now.
That's great.
Super.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Who'd like to go first? Anyone. Anyone.
I'll go.
Perfect. Todd?
Yes.
My daughter and I went to the mall, and she said she wanted to take the stairs to the second level. And I said, I don't trust stairs because they're always up to something.
Todd, I'm sorry that happened. I encourage you to try to resist the urge to make jokes like that.
My turn? Okay. Can I go? Okay. Yesterday, actually, my daughter got home and she asked me how my day was. And I said, well, a guy tried to sell me a coffin, but that's the last thing I need.
Oh, Jerry, that joke is dead on arrival.
Because it's the last thing I need.
David, how about you?
Oh, I didn't say
this is a safe zone. Just jump on in.
Yeah, I guess I'm just scared of being a dad. I'm afraid I'm going to start telling bad jokes just like my dad.
Well, it might be in our nature. We can fight against it.
Hey, speaking of nature, I tried to catch some fog yesterday. I missed. M-I-S-T.
Oh, you're a monster. This is where the boundary is.
I'm done.
This is where you are.
Hello? Really? Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, I'll be right there. That was Julie. Her water just broke. I guess the baby finally ran out of womb. I'm gonna be a dad.
Don't you think you should be going?
Oh, yeah.
So I told my wife she drew her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised.
In our prayers this morning, I would appreciate prayers for our family. My Uncle Hank passed away 2 weeks ago today. And so we ask you to remember the Linfett family, but the Carl family as well, and Trout family. My Uncle Hank was buried this past Wednesday at Jefferson Barracks with full military honors. George Thompson is Bob Morton's stepfather. He also passed away this week. And he was buried at O'Fallon City Cemetery, again, with full military honors. And so we remember the Thompson and especially the Morton family, Bob, Sharla, Matt, Mark, and Lauren, and the grandkids, Ava, Cohen, Charlie, Claire, and Jackson. We also remember Mary Stocky's niece's father-in-law, that's a long list there, Frager Spates, who passed away in California recently. We pray for the Stocky family as they mourn the passing of this dear loved one. And one last request has been made for Karen Anders' safe travel as she leaves for the Winnebago Indian Tribe in Nebraska, where she performs with her Little Lambs ministry, puppet ministry, for the children at the Lutheran's preschool there. So let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for being a just and forgiving God. We praise you for being our refuge, our fortress, and our God in whom we trust. You have given us eternal value through the suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus, and given us a mission to value those around us by following in the footsteps of our Lord. Knowing that you have freed us from our sins, help us to ask ourselves every day, now what, Lord? Where and when we have fallen away from your divine plan, forgive and restore us, that we might live for Jesus in the spirit you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers this day and every day. Because of the value you place on every human being, we too value all humanity. You sent Jesus to teach peace to a world set ablaze with hatred and anger, and he died so that the world might find peace with you and their neighbors. We lift up to you our country, which is polarized and uncompromising. Grant wisdom to our leaders, that they may make policies and laws for the benefit of all our citizens. Stop those who protest through violence. Give us all the desire to work toward our country's purpose to form a more perfect union, knowing that, though, we will never reach perfection. Help us to strive toward that goal so that we and every generation to come may live in harmony and peace. Protect the weakest and most vulnerable in our society. Pull out of the fires of abuse and oppression all who are beaten down. Help us to discover cures for the diseases that afflict our world, the mental health issues that are plaguing so many, and everyone who is struggling in body, mind, or spirit this day. We humbly ask for your healing, strength, and comfort on their behalf. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you united us in a common faith and family at our baptism. Lead and guide us in living out our baptismal faith as missionaries in this world, so that the people with whom we connect may hear your word and be led to join us in following you. Today we offer a prayer for Brian and Michelle Dole as they enter the exciting but challenging field of your ministry at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota. Bless their congregation through Brian and Michelle's loving work. We also seek your blessing upon PJ and Melanie as PJ continues his education through the Vicarage Program at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Let their work for you, O Lord, for Brian and Michelle in North Dakota, and for PJ and Melanie and their respective congregations, a time of growth in your word and stronger bonding together in love for each other and for the people they serve. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you have commissioned the whole church for ministry to the world. We thank you for every opportunity taken to reach out to the world with your love and compassion. We often don't feel up to this grand task, but you have promised to be with us. Continue to be with Karen Anders as she takes her puppet ministry to the children of the Winnebago Indian Reservation in Nebraska. Keep her safe as she travels, and give her wisdom from above to reach all who are listening to her presentations to the honor and glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, bring comfort and peace to all who mourn today, especially the Lindvet and Carl and Trout families who mourn the passing of my Uncle Hank. We ask that same comfort and peace to the Morton and Thompson families who are mourning the passing of George Thompson. We pray also for that comfort and peace to overshadow the Stocky family as they grieve the death of Mary's close relative, Frager Spates. Send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Alleviate all fear. Help us all to see the power of your resurrection in our grief. Give us the eyes of faith to see the realities of the new life in Christ. Rejuvenate our spirits in this time of weakness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, our special prayer this morning is for those who celebrate anniversaries. We lift up to you Bill and Marina Feldman, Dan and Tanya Bowman, Tom and Jody Sotteropoulos. We praise you for their love for each other and for the love that has been passed down through their families. Continue to bless them with your favor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord of life, all life, we give you honor and praise for the birthdays of Quinn Sterling and Dan Schmidt, which we celebrate this week. We thank you for their lives, which enrich our lives every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of good dads and everything that they do for us. Help them to have patience when we're difficult, wisdom when we can't see the way, strength when we need comforting, and love at all times, so that through them we get a little glimpse of how you, our Heavenly Father, feel about us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So many prayers still rush through our minds. What we have spoken and what remains in our hearts, we place into your loving and gentle hands. Since you taught us that the kingdom of God belongs to those like little children, we now bind all of our petitions together in love with the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us, spoken from a 3-year-old's voice and heart.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses, and we forget those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Before we depart, Melanie and I just want to thank you all for the warm welcome we've had the last 2 years. We're going to miss you all, and we cannot wait to come back. And with that, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I turned to you, put everything behind me and found the God who makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. You make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. From you and wandered in the shadows and found a God who relentlessly pursues. I hid from you, haunted by my failure, and found a God whose grace still covers me. I
fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I've worshipped you and felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Searching, God, you are my answer. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I my freedom, all my days.